Good morning, church, and happy Sabbath. Today's scripture reading will be found in Colossians 1, verses 15 to 20. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creator? For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven.
I was thinking that a flock of swallows should be called a meal. Never mind. It's August 6th, 2016, and summer is approaching middle age. The Katydids started to sing this week. Have you heard them? Go out tonight about 10 o'clock, and the night sounds will be filled with the sounds of Katydid. I always wondered what Katydid. The goldenrod started to bloom this week. I love New England. You realize we would not need to have printed calendars on our walls to know what time of the year it is here, because the change and the progression just keeps flowing along all year long. We live in a world of change, an amazing... if you had been born in the 1400s, or born in the 1300s, or born in the 1200s, life wouldn't have been much different whichever century you were born in. And now, change moves along at such a rapid pace that every decade by which you are born makes you a very distinct group. A lot of it started with the rapid change in pace. It started slowly, like all things, but then builds up in speed. A man by the name of Francis Bacon, the 1500s, developed a very simple process, which we call the scientific method. It's nothing more than inductive logic, but yet by articulating it, it changed the whole scope of science in the world. And scientific discoveries begin to quickly follow using Bacon's scientific method. And one idea began to build upon another idea, which began to build another idea. And as time went on, the explosion of knowledge using that very simple method just grows and gets bigger and bigger. And we stand on the shoulders of those who have gone before us. It isn't that people before us weren't smart. It's just that they didn't have as much knowledge as we have. But we stand on their shoulders, and they stand, others will stand on ours, and knowledge will continue to change our worlds. We're told that by 2020, just 4 years from now, a large percentage of the cars on the highway will be self-driven. It's hard to imagine. We're told that by 2025, most of us will have some form of a robot in our homes, each one of us. Virtual reality is going to replace television. If you're spending $3,000 or $4,000 for one of these gigantic televisions, it's going to be obsolete very soon from now. Climate change. Wow. Our church change. I stand here and I look out over the congregation this morning and realize I started going to church here about 20 years ago, and I think I can count on my fingers the number of people that are the same in this congregation that were here 20 years ago. It's amazing how quickly everything just moves along now. I heard someone the other day criticizing, trying to make a political statement about the size of our military. And it's true, our military is much smaller now than it used to be. But there will never be another D-Day. That kind of warfare is gone. Just as Pickett's charge during the Civil War at Gettysburg changed warfare, so have drones and computers and all kinds of other things changed warfare. We will never again need a million men to storm a beach. That could never happen again. Everything has changed. We have new ways of killing each other. How many of you would like to change yourself in some way or other? If you'd like to, some of us perhaps would like to have a little more hair. Came in this morning, good-looking young man back there, about two rows from the back, wearing glasses, gorgeous set of hair. I offered him $100,000 to swap, but he wasn't interested. I'd like to change my height. When I was in Blue Mountain Academy, my roommate was 6'5", and I was 5'6". We made quite a pair on campus. Anybody here like to change your weight a little bit? Yeah. Anybody here like to weigh more than you do now? I didn't think so. I think most of our problem is just a little bit too much here around the middle. I actually went to my closet this morning and got one of my older suits out because it was bigger than the one I have been wearing. Oh, dear. If you were looking for real change in your life, I mean change beyond your glasses, your hairstyle, your weight, if you're looking for real change in life, then you've got to become better acquainted with Jesus. Because there has never been a change agent anywhere in all of the universe like Jesus Christ. There was no earth. He spoke, and by the word of the Lord, the world came into being. Jesus was such a change agent that the calendar changed because of his birth on earth. We count years before he was born and we count years after he was born. I cannot imagine the feeling that came over a leper who Jesus touched. The man got up that morning, struggled to handle his meal because many of his fingers were gone. Probably very fortunate he did not have a mirror to look in to see how distorted and ugly his face had become. And that day he met Jesus. And he said to Jesus, "If you will, you can make me clean." Oh, Jesus could. And he did. But not until after he touched him. And when he touched him and then said, "I will, be thou clean," everything changed. His face changed. His fingers changed. His lips changed. Jesus' gentleness changed the life of a woman after he told her to go and sin no more. Jesus' command changed a father's tears of grief into tears of joy when Jesus stood by a little girl's bed and said, "Little girl, wake up." His blessing changed water into wine. His blessing took a small little basket filled with fish and bread, and from it fed at least 20,000 people. His command changed a raging thunderstorm so fierce that it was about to swallow these experienced fishermen's boat. And by his command, the weather instantly changed, and the sea settled, and the moon came out. His silence changed a courtroom into a raging, angry mob because they could not change him. His call changed the rotting flesh of a man who had been dead for 3 days into a living, vibrant human being. Jesus' generosity changes you and me into citizens of his kingdom. I'm proud to be an American, but I'm much more proud to be a citizen of God's kingdom. Jesus' love changes our sin-stained heavenly records. Wow, I like that. His command will change this planet into the home of the New Jerusalem. I'm fascinated by reading at the end of Revelation where it speaks of the New Jerusalem coming down from heaven and resting on earth. Do you realize that the New Jerusalem houses God's throne? God's throne is the center of the universe. Right now, our little planet is a tiny speck of dust in one of the swirling arms of our galaxy. We are nowhere even near the center of our galaxy. We are out on one of the swirling arms of it. And yet, if God's throne is to come and rest and reside on earth, that means that the entire universe has to be restructured. Galaxies have to be moved. Worlds and planets all have to be rearranged to make Earth the center. Now, I know that sounds very egocentric. It sounds like we are overwhelmed with our own self-importance. But it isn't about us. It really, truly isn't. It's about a God who is so powerful that he redeems us and gives us eternal life and makes us the center of the universe. Talk about change. Talk about Jesus being the change agent of all time. That's incredible. And probably the biggest miracle of all is the change that takes place in our lives in terms of our desires. The change in making me love you more than I love me. I can't imagine that being true. I love me a lot. And the idea of loving you more than loving me, Now, there's a few people in my life that I love more than me, but it's a few. One of the most fascinating verses in Scripture is that while we were yet his enemies, he died for us. And then if we are to become Christ-like, that means that even we will at some point or other in our character development, in the change of our lives, even we would die for an enemy. I'm fascinated by that whole process. Do you love Jesus this morning? Do you want to be different? Do you want to be better than you are today? Don't worry about the physical stuff. Paul says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we will all be what? Changed. For this mortal shall put on immortality. This corruption will put on incorruption. Maybe it isn't until then that I will be able to love my enemies. Some people try to tell us that we have to be perfect before we can be saved. Nonsense. If that were so, no one would be saved. We are saved in our imperfection because he changes it to perfection. Christianity is all about Jesus and not about us. And that's so wonderful about it, that someday we will live having others be more important than we. I'm anxious for that change in my life. You also realize you're going to get a name change. Do you remember that in Revelation? That Jesus will come one day while you're sitting at a table, and he will come up behind you and whisper in your ear a new name. I'm not sure if we're going to be going by that name or not anymore. I don't know if I will call Marilyn Marilyn anymore, or if I'll call Marilyn the name that Jesus gives you. Or maybe, just maybe, that name that he whispers in our ear will be a love name that's just between you and me and him. Sometimes I call my wife some names that I wouldn't call you. Matter of fact, Brian, if I did, you probably ought to smack me good. Sometimes names are a very, very private thing. So we're not told. We're just told our name will change, but maybe, just maybe, that will not be a public name. Whatever it is, it will feel so good to hear it when he speaks it to us. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me, I am his own. And the things that we share with him, we will never share with anybody else. I love that about Jesus.
Let us stand and turn to him. 551.
Just see. has come from thee. Jesus, Savior, pardon me. As a mother stills her child, thou canst hush the ocean wild. Boisterous
Our Eternal Father, we are very aware that our world is changing about us. But we know that you will pilot us through the maze of the unknown that is to come, and that we will safely arrive where you want us to be. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.